Praise God, Wanda. Praise God. Praise God, Paul. Praise God. Man, we can go home now, huh? Yeah, I am so excited. I am so happy to hear that with both of y'all. Because I know the whole, you know, family, this church family has been praying for you, praying for both of y'all. And just to hear that, man, that's good news. That is good news. If y'all would, please turn to 1 John 4, 7 through 10. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10. And when you have it, say amen. It reads as follows: Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The title of today's message is God is Love. God is Love. Would everybody bow your head? Heavenly Father, we thank you just for everything that you've done for us, Lord. We are truly grateful. We thank you for the praise report with Wanda and Paul. And I'm sure there are many other praise reports, Heavenly Father. And we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, and today we pray that you would speak a word to our hearts, a word about who you are, about your attributes, and about how loving and compassionate and how kind you are. Lord, fill us with your presence. Fill our hearts with your presence. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God is love. God is love. That's one of the many characteristics of God. One of the main characteristics of God is that he's love. He's loving. However, at times, it doesn't seem that way. If we can be honest, sometimes David was honest. Sometimes it seems like God is nowhere to be found. There are times in our lives to where we tend to doubt. Doubt who God is. Doubt what he's doing. June 5th, I received a call. It was either June 5th or June 6th. I received a call from my dad. And when my dad calls, I usually try to call him back immediately. Because that's how I was raised. How many of y'all was raised like that? I'm raising my hand. I'm raising both hands. So when I saw that he called, I immediately called him back. And he told me, and this is when my oldest son, Legend, was in the car with me. He told me that my brother, my big brother, the one that used to pee in the bed, y'all can laugh, the one that used to protect me when I was little, had got shot and killed, and that they found his body in Vallejo, California. Now, when I heard that news, kind of froze. My son was in the car, and I spoke out loud because I was on the phone with my dad, and I spoke out loud, and I said, oh, man, my brother just got killed. My son, Legend, immediately started crying. Uncle Derek, tears flowing down his eyes. Not Uncle Derek. Not Uncle Derek. Some of y'all have experienced the loss of loved ones. Some of y'all have recently lost your spouse. Maybe you've lost a mother or father recently. Maybe you've lost a sister. Maybe you've even lost a daughter or a son. In hearing the news, I felt sad. I felt sad because this is the person that I've been praying for 20 years. 20 years I've been praying that God would change his heart. My brother was a big drug dealer in Houston. And for 20 years I've been praying for him. And here I find out that he got shot and killed, and I think he was still possibly doing what he did in the past. And so I'm like, God, what's going on? What's going on? What's happening? Maybe you have a sickness. And you're like, God, what is going on? Or maybe you lost a loved one, like I just recently said. Or maybe you, not even that, maybe you're depressed. When I was a teenager, I was depressed. When I was a teenager, I was depressed. I used to smoke. I used to do all kind of things I'm not proud of. But one of the reasons why I was insecure, I was depressed. As a teen, it's hard being a teen. How many of y'all are teenagers? Raise your hand. What? Ben? You know you're a teen at heart. But it's hard. Am I right here? It's not easy. How many of y'all have been teenagers? Well, there we go. There we go. Now we're getting the hands up. It's not easy. Teenage years are rough. The peer pressure. Now they got social media, right? Everybody worried about likes. You ain't worried about likes, though, huh? Followers. You got some followers? How many followers you got? Oh, you don't know? Okay. So, you know, it's so much peer pressure. So much stuff is going on. So you might be depressed. But one thing I want you to know throughout all this, even through with the loss of my brother, God is love. I'm going to say that again. God is love. God is with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with you. Through it all, he's holding your hand. He's holding your hand through it. Through the sickness, through the loss, through the depression. He's holding your hand. God is loving. He loves you more than you can even imagine. And that's what this passage really is talking about. Today, we're really going to, through this passage, we're going to focus on two individuals. Jonah, how many of y'all know about Jonah? Jonah. Was it a whale or a big fish, bro?
It was a whale.
A whale, right? Was it a whale? Okay, all right. How many of y'all know about the John? The Apostle John. We're going to focus on Jonah, and we're going to focus on the Apostle John. John, and what we're going to look at is how those two individuals knew the character of God. They knew that God was a loving God. They knew that God was full of mercy. They knew God was compassionate. And so we're going to really focus on that. We're going to start with John. John is the one that wrote 1 John, the passage that we're looking at. And John was an apostle. John was the same John who wrote the Gospel of John and also wrote the book of Revelation. John is the same John who sat in the bosom or in the lap of Jesus. Come up here. Just come up here, man. Because I want to illustrate this. Sit down right here, brother. Sit down right here. This is Jesus. Hey, it's the best we can do. It's the best. You know you my boy. You know you my boy. I got a message. This is Jesus. This is John. Now, hey, man, I ain't like that. I'm just. Can you imagine a grown man sitting in another grown man's lap? Hey, you're not Jesus. Don't touch me like that, man. But can you imagine that? You know, I'm saying sometimes we need to get the visual, the picture. Hey, Jesus, I love you. I don't kiss no man. I'm just letting you know that. That's just for the, you know. But I mean, can you picture that? Can you imagine that? John, the same John that was with Jesus. The same John that was the eyewitness to Jesus. You see, John, in 1 John 1 and 1, it says, you already got it on the screen. That which was from the beginning, this is what John wrote, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of God. John wrote this. John was saying what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked upon, our hands have touched. He kicked it with Jesus. Can I talk like that? Remember after Jesus rose from the dead and he had the little fish waiting on him? He ate at a fish fry with Jesus. He hung out with Jesus. He spoke with Jesus. We're talking about the Son of God in the flesh. God himself. John knew God. John knew Jesus personally. So the information that he's sharing in 1 John is based on experience. He knew the character of God. He knew that God was a loving God. John was also in the book. Let's just giving y'all a background on the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John was written to combat false teaching that was going on. There was a lot of false teaching going on during this time. And they were saying that Jesus didn't come actually in the flesh, but that he was a spirit. And so John was writing the book basically to come against that. And so John was saying that basically Jesus is 100% God and he's 100% man. And I'm coming against all that false teaching that was going on during this time. This is the same John that was on the Mount of Transfiguration that saw Jesus light up the room, basically. That saw the heavens open up and God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." This is the same John. And when you look at verse 7 and 8, it says, "We as believers of this passage, we as believers should love one another. And those who love one another are truly children of God. They have been born again. They know God," meaning they have a relationship with God, the Father, through Jesus Christ. "Christ is their Lord and Savior. Those who don't love," this is John writing this, meaning don't practice love, don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, they don't know God. John was saying, "I know God, and I'm going to tell you what the test is of knowing God." Why? Because God is love. And John knew that. Now, let me be clear. John is not saying that Christians are loving 24/7, 7 days a week. That's not true. We know that through Israel over there. Israel's not loving. No, I'm messing with him. The only reason I'm saying that is because he had a Texan shirt on, and he's really a Cowboys fan. He had a Texan shirt on last week, right, Israel? Okay, and he's really a Cowboys fan. And who? Somebody a Cowboys fan? Are you a Cowboys fan? Oh, Cowboys fans, okay. I'm a sidetrack just for a second. They haven't won a Super Bowl since 1996. Let's keep going on. There are times, let me get back to my message. There are times where we do not walk in love. However, he is saying that the true test of knowing God is how we love him and other people. Why? Because God is love. God is love. What does that mean? Love is an attribute of the character of God. It is who he is. God is love. God is loving. Jonah in the Bible knew this, like I said before. How many of y'all have actually read the book of Jonah? Okay. Jonah was a prophet who was sent by God to go and preach to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. More than 120,000 people actually lived there. For those that don't know the story, Jonah refused to go and preach to them. Because of his disobedience to God, he was swallowed by a huge fish and remained in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. Jonah then prayed and cried out to God, and God commanded the fish to vomit Jonah out of his belly. Eventually, Jonah ended up going to Nineveh. Jonah told the Ninevites to repent, turn from their wickedness, and turn to God, or the city would be overthrown. So the people prayed and fasted. Even the king of Nineveh ended up repenting. So all the people repented, especially the king of Nineveh. And it says in Jonah 3 and 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. That's a merciful God. That's a compassionate God. After this, in chapter 4, Jonah is heated and mad. JR, you've been mad? I've seen you mad before, man. How many of y'all have been mad, like angry mad? Like where you want to slap your spouse mad? No. Put your hands down. You shouldn't be raising your hands after that statement. Heated man. He's angry with God. He basically says, I knew you would forgive them. I knew you weren't going to bring that destruction on them. That's why I didn't want to preach to them in the first place. And then in verse 2 of chapter 4, he makes a very important statement that shows us that Jonah knew the character of God. He knew that God was loving. In Jonah 4 and 2, Jonah says, I knew that you are gracious and compassionate. And compassionate God. Slow to anger and abounding in love. See, Jonah knew that God is love. But in order to really understand how powerful that statement was that Jonah made, you have to understand the history, the historical background of the book. Nineveh was a city filled with violence. They were known for their brutal treatment when it came to the people they conquered. They would amputate the hands and feet of their captives. They were wicked. They would gouge people's eyes, leaving them blind. This was a wicked city. You know, I work with juveniles, and God has placed me there to show love to some of the juveniles. And some of them, and I just got to be honest, we got juveniles, and I'm not trying to be too graphic. We have juveniles that have molested kids. We have juveniles that have attempted murder, that have murdered, aggravated robbery. You know, what society would consider the worst kids in Houston, I work with. But God looks at them a different way.
Amen.
Some of them have been hurt. Some of them have been molested. Some of them have been abused. Some of them come from poverty-stricken environments. We don't know what the people of Nineveh had to deal with or what they were going through. We can't judge them. See, God knew that. So when Jonah said he didn't want to preach to these people, one of the reasons was because of how evil he thought they were. I guess Jonah felt these wicked people didn't deserve mercy and compassion and love. See, Jonah knew that God would destroy them if they repented and turned, if they didn't repent and turn from their evil ways. In verse 9 of 1 John 4, we see how God showed his love to all of mankind by sending his son, Jesus Christ. It says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Meaning, through his death, we have eternal life. Love is action. How many of y'all know that? Love is action. God didn't just love us from a distance. He sent his son to earth. Jesus, the embodiment of love. Meaning he is the tangible or visible form of love. The Greek word for love in verse 8 is agape. Agape is not the romantic or brotherly love. Agape is the love described in 1 Corinthians 13, which I'm sure some of us are familiar with that passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. Keeps no record of wrongs, etc. This love describes God. You know why? Because this type of love flows from God, meaning God is the source of this type of love. Maybe some of y'all have not experienced the love of Christ. Maybe you don't know God. You don't know his love. I remember the first time I gave my life to Jesus Christ. There was a joy and a peace that was beyond belief that I couldn't find in getting high, that I couldn't find in girls, that I couldn't find in all this other stuff that consumed me. I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church. My brother grew up in the church. But we grew up in a church that was filled with tradition. We grew up with, I knew the church stories. You could tell, I mean, I knew the church stories. My brother was selling drugs while he was singing in the choir. I sung in the choir, but it didn't mean anything to me. But even in that church, there were some people that were living for God. And I know they were praying for me. And when I was in college, I thought I was the man. J.I., I was the man, though, J.I. I ain't going to lie to you, man. Sports Illustrated twice. Patrick, I was in Sports Illustrated twice, brother. Huh? Not once, twice. What? No, let me stop. I'm saying this because I'm trying to make a point. I was caught up into myself. I went to school. I did go to school. I went, maybe four times to a particular class. Four times, I think, on the for the first test. It's a midterm, right? I'm trying to remember. I think I went to a midterm. I went to a final. And I think I went to another time. This is one particular class I remember. So I was going to school to play football. And the sad thing about it, my dad was a dean. My dad was a college professor. We used to have to refer to him as Dr. Allen in the house. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, brother. So I was raised right, but I was living the way I wanted to live because in our house, we didn't pray. There wasn't prayer. Only time we prayed was when we ate. And my dad was a deacon in the church. It was more tradition. But when I got saved and when I surrendered my life completely to Jesus Christ, it was like I was in a whole nother world. What's that commercial? Whatever it is, I think I see, becomes a Tootsie Roll. Okay. Somebody knows it. A Tootsie Roll to me. Hey, I don't know why I'm singing that, but it was like, whatever it is, I think I see, looks like Jesus Christ to me. I was smiling. I had a glow. I had a love that I never experienced, that I couldn't experience from a girlfriend. It was a love that was beyond belief. And then I wanted to share that with others. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to come to know that love. And if you do know Jesus Christ, if you surrendered your life to Christ, maybe you need a jump start. Maybe you have certain idols in your life. And you need a jump start. You need some cables. You need to be hooked up to another car. That car you need to be hooked up to is Jesus Christ. You need to get a jump start. And you need to go back to your first love that you've left. Or you know Christ. Maybe you know Christ. And you're living wholeheartedly for Christ. But you've experienced losses. You've experienced hard times. You're depressed. You have financial difficulties. Hang on in there. Hang on in there. Everything's going to be all right. Al Green used to have a song. You know, Al Green used to sing secular, but he gave his life to Christ. And he used to have a song that said, everything is going to be all right. He's coming back like he said he would. Come on. Everything. Let's stop. But as the worship team comes up, the worship team can come up. Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray with the elders or with myself. You can come to the altar and pray. You want to give your life to Christ for the first time? Come up. If you're shy, if you're embarrassed, talk to somebody afterwards. You can talk to me afterwards. You can talk to the elders. Anybody in this church. But with all that being said, I love y'all. God loves you. And hang in there, because God is love.